Yes, sir. How would I go about reporting a UFO incident?
Okay, let's hear about it.
Okay, my husband saw it. He's at work right now, but he asked me to find out, you know, how he would go about reporting it. I'll tell you what he's told me.
Fine.
Okay, this happened the 18th of November, outside of White, on White Mountain, outside of Tucumcari, New Mexico. He was lost deer hunting in that area. He got lost. He was several miles from camp, and it got dark on him before he got back to camp. He saw him come in. There was eight of them on the ground. I'm sorry if my voice gets shaky, but I get shaky every time I talk about it.
It's okay.
One in the sky. He said they were about two stories high. He said they were saucer shaped. They had the top and the bottom were ridged like he told me, like the edge of a paper plate, you know, it's ridged.
Okay.
Because that's the way they were on the top and on the bottom. In the middle, there was a band of lights. They were white, but they had some red lights that were in the shape of M's on the side. Okay, they had and he observed these for 7 to 8 hours. And they observed him. They had an antenna about 50 feet over his head. One of them did. He was about 200 yards from the one ship that he could see.
Yes.
There was one ship that was closer to him. He knew that the ones that had the antenna over his head. Okay, they had a square light on the top ship that produced kind of like a spotlight, but it was very bright, and he said it was foggy looking. Toward the tail light, they had a revolving light that went 180 degrees, and it flashed red, green, and blue.
Uh-huh.
Now, this fog light, as it went around, my husband would duck behind the hill, because he said, I didn't know what that thing would do. But every time it would pass over his head, he would get down. And he says, as it passed, he says, as it hit the bushes and the grass, he says, it sounded like wind blowing, but he says the grass did not lay down like it was being blown. He said all it did was shimmer. The spaceship had landing lights on the bottom. He did not see any landing gear. So it came down, but he did not see any landing gear. He says there was eight of them on the ground, and they were all about, I think he said a half mile apart. I'm not sure of this. You know, I forget. He can tell you exactly. He can describe them real well.
Yes.
Okay. And he saw each one of them had a minimum of four antennas. And he was watching these through the scope on his gun. He said when he first came in, it scared him to death. You know, he was more frightened than he knew what to do. He didn't have any ammunition in his gun because he had shot some wolves earlier that were tracking him. And he said also there was coyotes in the area. And finally, after he got over the initial shock of seeing these things come in, he lit a fire. He said, well, they're not going to bother me after this time, you know.
Uh-huh.
He just went and lit a fire to keep the coyotes off of him. And he said this antenna from this one ship had come over his head about 50 feet, watching for a little while, and then disappear. A few minutes later, it'd come back again. He figured then they weren't going to bother him. But he said the antennas were rectangle. He says they did not have a boundary, though. He could see, and they didn't see anything attaching them to the ship. He said they looked like little twinkly lights. You know, he said they were red and white, blue, green, and this is all it did, splash and twinkle. He said it looked like a neon light ready to go out.
Uh-huh.
And he said when he looked at these antennas, or whatever they were, through his gun scope, he said you didn't see the twinkly lights. He said you saw a thing that looked like a car flare in the shape of a V on its side. And, he said there was one in the sky, and he said they would flash a light beam up to the one in the sky, and then the one in the sky flash one down to the one on the ground that he was watching. And he said also, when they came in, they did not make any noise. And he said they would, he said he thought that they would communicate from ship to ship, because he did, they did make a noise from, there's a real sharp, high blip noise back and forth to the other ship.
A beeping sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, okay, and he said also, occasionally, during the night, they would flash an image in the sky. He said it was a white light, and he said the image was like a triangle upside down, and it had two slants, like where an eyes would be, and a long slant where a nose would be, and that's the only way I'd describe it. He said, I don't know if it's a face or not, but that's just where the, you know, where the lights were.
Yes.
And they would flash that in the sky every once in a while. He says, just before dawn, and so I'm telling you, this, it's going to be hard to believe because we don't even believe. Or just before dawn, my husband was scared to death at him, and he screamed at him, told him to leave him alone, he's out of ammunition, and he couldn't hurt things, you know, that's how frightened he was.
Uh-huh.
And he said, just before dawn, one of the ships flashed these screens, he flashed two of them up, and every, my husband watched the flare-type thing in the middle of it.
Yes.
And they pointed at him to the direction to get off that. Now, Emery didn't know what they were doing anyway, but, you know, there was one going one way and one going the other way. He says, what the heck, I'm lost anyway. And so when dawn came, he followed the direction that he saw the arrow. Well, he came within 50 feet of his camp. But anyway, as they came on, just before dawn, said they started taking off. He says, what they would do is they would go up on their end. They would not, you know, lay flat like a saucer. He said they would go up on their end and go a few feet up in the sky. He said then they would start gyrating or vibrating or something, you know, and it would start fogging. He said this fog would turn a pale blue and a pale green, and all of a sudden it was white. He said it just looked like a fog.
Uh-huh.
And he says then they took off and they were gone. Just a few minutes, they looked like a star in the sky. And he said he watched them all take off that way. He says they looked like a falling star.
Okay, now, which day was it that they took off?
Okay, so you got lost Thursday night of the 18th, so that would make it Friday morning the 19th.
Okay.
He got home, he left. As soon as he got back to camp, he slept and ate, and he came home. And he's been afraid to talk about it. He's afraid that, you know, people would think that he's a little off.
Yes.
And I told him that I think that it should be reported. And I called the Air Force and they didn't know, you know, weren't interested in it.
Did he see any openings in these objects?
Not to my knowledge. He didn't see any people. He told me he didn't see any people at all. He didn't see any landing gear. He did see the landing lights on the bottom.
Okay.
He watched him for 7 to 8 hours through the scope of his gun. He has a Leopold scope. And he said there were, oh, I guess, a couple hundred yards. I think that's what he told me.
Okay, now I want to get a confirmation on this date. He got lost on Thursday the 18th.
Right.
And he got out on Friday the 19th.
Right.
Okay.
When it was getting dusk and he knew he was lost, he heard a Jeep going across the mesa in there. And he had saw the Jeep coming, and they were, Emery says they were going across that mesa lickety split. So he fired three warning shots in the air, hoping they would stop for him. They turned the spotlight on him. Those people wouldn't even stop for him. They just took off, so apparently they saw him too, coming in.
And he was at Tucum Carey at the time?
He was out of Tucum Carey. I think he said somewhere around White Mountain, the other side of White Mountain.
Okay.
But he's at work, and we didn't know who to call, what to call, if we should call you know, and he just asked me if I'd find out about it today.
Okay. Did he give any estimate of size on those objects?
He said they were about 2 stories high.
Wow.
But I don't know how long. I don't remember him saying how long they were.
Okay. And has he told this to anyone else besides you?
His friends.
Uh-huh.
Close friends of people that we wouldn't think they were crazy. He hasn't told that many people.
Okay. Now, would he be willing to talk to someone if they came down there to see him?
I'm sure he would.
Okay.
I'm sure he would now. He's gotten over the fright now and over the things that, you know, we have found out that people won't think we're crazy now because other people have seen him and so forth. But, you know, their first couple weeks he was home, he was afraid to tell anybody that they think he was crazy or something. But my husband did not believe in UFOs before that time.
Okay.
And I was skeptical, but I believe in him now.
Well, he's had a very rare experience, and obviously he has knowledge of some very important scientific data.
Well, he was scared to death. I mean, he said, I was scared. He said, you know, in that beginning, he said, I screamed at him. And not only that, you know, he shot a couple of wolves. He was the last of it. He was still on his ambition, trying to get those other hunters to stop for him, and he wouldn't stop. And then he had
Did he give any estimate as to how far away the objects were that were on the ground?
The one he was watching, I think he said was about 200 yards from him.
Uh-huh.
He said he thought that there was one closer than that to him, but he didn't see it because he figured that the antennas or whatever it was over his head. Now, that's what he's calling them because he don't know what else to call.
Yes.
That was over his head. He said there's about 50 feet over his head. He said he thought that they were coming from a ship that was closer than that to him. He said, I think he said they were half mile, three quarters of a mile apart, each one of these that were on the ground. And he didn't know how high the one in the sky was, but he counted 8.
Okay.
And then the one in the sky.
He didn't see any occupants at all?
No, he didn't see any occupants at all. He said, I didn't even see any landing gear down. He said, I saw the landing lights. And he, you know, described that fog light, and he described this other little light on the tail. It only went 180 degrees, he said.
Right.
It flashed blue, green, and red.
Okay. What time does your husband get home from work?
Well, he's in business for himself, and right now he's working a lot, so I don't know exactly when he's going to be in.
Okay.
In and out during the time. You know, he's self-employed. He's in and out during the daytime.
Uh-huh.
That's why he asked me to call, because he figured he wouldn't get in until after dark, and can't call anybody after dark.
Right. Okay. Well, we sure appreciate this report, and we'll see if we can't get somebody down there to talk to him.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Where did you get our number?
From the police department.
We called
the Air Force, and they didn't know who to call or if we should report it or what, and they suggested we call the police department. So I called the police department, and they gave me the number.
That's the Mesquite police?
Mesquite police.
Right. Okay, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington.
Yes.
And your wife was telling us this morning that you had quite an experience.
Yes.
I wonder if we could get your rundown on it right from the beginning.
Well, went hunting alone in New Mexico, which I'm not supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
And went down into the canyon. And I stayed too long in the canyon. This is the first trip to New Mexico.
I see.
And when I came out of the canyon, I didn't go far enough. And I, as dark as it got so quickly, I more or less got turned around and went in the opposite direction. And I kept walking. I figured I'd cross a fence line or a road. And, I didn't. And I kept firing warning shots, you know, pretty rapid fire.
Right.
Somebody either going to hear you and fire one shot to home you in. Well, I seen some light. It flashed about 15-20 seconds apart, and I figured, well, it was bright enough to be a beacon for Air Force.
Yes.
Okay, but I was a heck of a long way from it. But I started going to it because I was, man, I was lost and I was scared as hell. And I kept going and kept going and kept going. And that view of the light, you know, kept coming up on the light. And when I got up there, a little way, oh, before I got to where I finally stopped at, I kept thinking in my mind, there ain't no damn airport here. Not where I'm at. But maybe it's a ranger anyway. Or a game warden.
Yes.
Heard me shoot. So I went on. And I got to this little knoll, and this big light was looked like a beacon that was coming across, and there were several other lights in the area. And I heard this Jeep coming, and that Jeep was running full speed across this mesa. This mesa is about 3 miles in diameter. Well, I fired my gun, and they shined the spotlight on me, and they was flashing the spotlight all over the area, but they wouldn't stop, and I kept shooting and screaming at them, and they wouldn't stop, but the Jeep, evidently, they had seen them too, and they were just getting out of there. Well, anyway.
About what time was this, do you recall?
Oh, this is about 11.
Okay.
10:30, 11. Well, yeah, about 10:30 or 11. It could have been around 9. Well, anyway, I was trying to see where the Jeep went. Thought maybe he went to a road. I could follow the road back. And I went back the way the Jeep went. He passed behind me, and I went back the other way where the Jeep was going. And I stopped because he was just definitely gone. He wouldn't have stopped nobody. And then one of a light come on. I guess it was in the, he must have been, oh, I'd say half a mile from me. And it, I didn't even know he was there. And he turned this light on. And so I didn't know what it was, but I knew it wasn't anything that I've ever seen before, because the light was a big rectangular light. I did not look directly in the light. And it was, it put out a glow like a fog.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a sharp light like a headlight.
Was it quite bright?
Yeah, but it was a soft light.
Uh-huh.
But it was, it looked like a big fog. If you chopped off a big rectangular section, fog. That's the way it looked. He was shining the light through it.
Yes.
Okay. So, I started looking at the other objects that was around. I counted 8 on the ground. The first one I counted. And the light would pass and sound like when it would hit the bushes, it sounded like wind. When this light would hit the brush.
Yes.
But it didn't affect the brush like wind affects it.
Well, now, could I stop for a minute?
Yeah.
You say that when the light was going around, was there some kind of a shaft of light being shined around?
Yes, this was something like a searchlight. If it, you know, if you see any searchlights they use for advertising?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was a type of light, but it was a rectangular light.
I see.
And I just guesstimated it was as far away as it was. It could have been a 4x8. It could that big.
Uh-huh.
Well, when the light come around the first time, I got down. I don't know why I got down, but it got down. And I still had my rifle with me, but I used the rifle. I figured, well, hell, if he's going to move this light around, I might be able to spot me a deer out there. And that's when I seen the bushes shake. It's when the light was on. I did not look directly in the light.
Yes.
And I looked through the scope. Now, it would take this brush, and it would just shake it. And when the light would pass by, the bush would stop. And it would do the grass the same way. It would just take it and just shake it. Not blow it down like the wind does. It just shake the grass and shake the bush. And when I was watching them, I watched the other one across the mesa. There was one that had a revolving light right on the port. And I looked at it, and the light was rolling in a counterclockwise direction. I'd actually make out that. And I've got a good scope on my gun. I got a lipo. And I could see every detail at all on that light. And it would flash blue, red, and green. And the light, all you could see on it was 180-degree slot.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't see the full 360-degree like you look at a regular light bulb. And it would roll in that counterclockwise direction.
And that was on the ground also?
It was on the ground also.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I was confused. I was damn scared. And in the meantime, this other light kept moving back and forth. And I noticed he was only moving 180 degrees. And I didn't know which way to run. And I built me a fire right there. And when I built the fire, I looked up. And in the sky, they could make like a little antenna that'll appear in mid-space. It's a rectangular antenna. Now, there's no wires attached. It's just projected in this space. It has blue, green, and a little red light in it. It looked like a grid. And they just, right there, just twinkling. I never seen nothing like this before in my whole life. It's just suspended in midair, nothing. It just appeared.
Do you have any estimate of altitude in
there? Oh, that damn thing wasn't over 30 feet from me.
Okay.
And, it was probably 25, 40 feet in the air.
Uh-huh.
And this thing was just right over the top of it. If you had a rectangular board, and you could take the board, and you could just turn it any position you want to, that's the way they did it. And the one that drove me was just looking straight down. It was flat. And I didn't know what the hell it was. I was so scared I was talking to him. I told him, leave me alone. I wouldn't want to do him no harm. And I just thought I'd look at it with a scope on my rifle. And I looked at this thing, and you couldn't see these little flickering lights, blue, red, and green little lights in it. When you put the scope on it, you could look right through it, and what I had seen was amazed the hell out of me.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a road flare. A road flare burning with two wings on it. It just sat there, and you take the scope away, and the little grid would stay right there. But you put the scope on, you come up with a road flare. Real weird. But it was just, you couldn't see the road flare with your naked eye.
Right.
But the scope would look right through it, and in the center of that thing, it looked like a road flare. And it would disappear, and then it would reappear at a different location. and at times it has two or three at different places, as if they're watching. Only thing I could figure out, it might have been a closed-circuit TV, and maybe sound transmitter. I don't know what it was. But I figured it was an antenna. And I was burning a fire at this time. And I watched these things all night long. But one time of the night, they'd flash a picture like a face in the sky. And I could draw that face. And it would appear, and it would appear white colored light. And then it would flash another one. Now, what I mean by flashing, this, it would disappear in the sky.
Just as though it was being projected right into the atmosphere?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like neat, like these little lights they had put, say, several in a motel. Lights, you know, that blink.
Right.
Yeah, it's not, looked like a burnout neon, is what it looked like. And it just projected right there. It had a face on it. And then it would disappear, and then another one would come up, and it was a W. But it had a border around it, plus some other markings in it. And they appeared at several different times during the night. Twice, I don't know what, if I can remember real clearly. And then, the only time I've seen actual landing lights on the craft is when one was coming in, and it was on the circular on the bottom. They were lights on the bottom. But after we touched down, they would turn them off. That's the only time I've ever seen that. I could see no landing gear or nothing on it. Also, on the this one big craft, I could see colors on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It looks basically like a band going around the middle of it. Now, this band must have been at least as far away as I was, 8 foot wide. And the band had something like a picket fence going through it. And these, not like a picket fence. You know, you've seen a diagonal-type fence, like a Z-bar type?
Right.
And these panels were red with a white background. And these Z-bars all the way around this craft.
Now, this was moving around on the horizontal.
No, this was stationary. This dude was stopped.
Uh-huh. But what I mean is the band was around on the horizontal, not on the vertical.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, I never thought I'd ever believe, but when these things took off, I watched these things all night until sunrise. They would lay on their edge, and they'd go up about 300 feet, and then they'd lay horizontal with the ground.
Right.
Then it starts this panel up. The panel would turn white first. Then it would go to a pastel blue, to a pastel green. And then the longer he stayed there, it started to come to a pastel white, but a fog white. And the longer he sat there and run that thing, it would, this fight would engulf the craft. You could just watch it spread from
right.
top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd just move off, and he didn't make a bit of sound or anything on leaving or anything like that. They'd run one sound pattern while I was there, two sound patterns. And one was a great big whooping, and the other one was just a plain sound, straight path. and he was running into another ship over there. He was running them back and forth, different sound patterns. But that's the only noise they ever made that I've seen. Let's see, what else? Well, each one of these crabs took off on their edge, one at a time.
This was daylight when they started doing this?
No, it was, they started probably pulling out around 3:30.
Uh-huh.
3 to 3:30. And the last one, most likely, I guess it must have been a 4 to 5. But he pulled out, and he sat up there, I guess he was about a half mile or a mile up. And he sat there with the dawn coming in. And he just sat there. And I just watched the heck out of him.
Could you see a solid surface on the last one?
Oh, yeah, right. He was just sitting there, like suspended in space.
Uh-huh.
There was no cloud or nothing around him. He was just there, just stopped, wasn't making a bit of noise. Okay, he was the last one to leave. Before he left, he must have been a control ship over there or something, because there's one in the sky, and he looked like a bright star. But there's only one thing that was different. There was a light beam going up and a light beam coming down, and it's just more or less like you could see two light beams. And it was going right to the star. It was not going past the star. And they were coming right down to this ship, the last one to leave.
Now, was the star in the sky, the star-like thing in the sky, was that quite large?
Well, it was bright.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell how big it was. But there was a light beam coming down, I assume, and one going up, because there were two light beams. And they looked like a beam as if you would take one of these advertising signs and shine one up and shine one down. And that's how bright they were. They appeared at, about halfway through this mess, I'd say probably around 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And then they were just gone. The beams were gone.
Okay, were those beams through this whole thing only directed onto the one craft?
Only on that one craft.
Right, okay.
I didn't see it directed on any other craft.
Okay.
And if I told you how I got out of there, you wouldn't believe me.
No, let's hear about it anyway.
These little you probably think I'm nuts. These little, I call them antennas.
Uh-huh.
At dawn, when this ship picked up and moved up and just stopped, there was another antenna appeared approximately 60 feet from me. And I still looked at it with my scope. And the flare, remember, it's got two wings on the flare. It's not like wings of a bird. This is like a regular road flare that you light up.
Right.
And they can move these in any direction, these little old wings. They can be pointing, say, north. And what I'm talking about, the point is the base of the flare. You know what I mean?
Right.
The burning substance.
Yes.
It was pointing due about southwest. I'd say southwest. And another one was behind it. It was pointing southwest. And being lost, I said, to hell with it, and I went the way the thing pointed, and I come out within 50 yards of my truck. And I didn't get back to the truck at 10:30 to 11 o'clock. And I'm in very good physical condition.
That was...
That's going down to the canyon, the soft mountain. And that's not hunting, that's moving out. And I was totally exhausted when I got to that truck. I couldn't have went another 2 miles without resting.
Okay, now, was that 11 o'clock a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
Okay.
And now, I don't know how far away I was, but I figured I was going at least 3 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I guesstimate anywhere from 10 to 12 miles. I was past my truck.
And do you feel yourself that they were actually directing you in which direction to go?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Because at one time, when I started to see them pictures on the sky, one of these antennas was there, and I screamed them. I said, I don't know who in the hell you are, but you sure got your shit together. You know what the hell you doing. That's what I told them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they could hear me or not. I told them I was lost and leave me the hell alone. You can do your thing. But I don't want nothing to do with you. And that night I burnt 2 logs. Oh, I'd say about 15-foot long, 20-foot long.
Uh-huh.
All night long. I was afraid to go to sleep later. The coyotes would get me up there. I could hear them holler, yell, you go to sleep up there in that mesa, they go to get you.
Okay, and you are sure that you did not sleep or lose any time at all?
I'm sure of that.
Okay.
I had to stay awake all night.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a couple times that I almost fell in the fire. Now, about falling, though, you know, I stepped into the fire a couple of times, but I'm not crazy enough that I wasn't aware. But I'll tell you, I could close my eyes or look in a different direction or forget about them and turn around, and they'd still be there.
Okay.
You know, I thought maybe you're seeing things. You know. So, you know, the best way to do is you think you're seeing things is just don't look at it anymore.
Right.
Think about something else.
Right.
And so I looked at it, went back there, and started singing and whistling and yelling and screaming, hollering help and everything else. And turned around. They're still there.
Okay, now, the last object to leave, you got a good look at that. Was it partial daylight then?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fully visible.
Okay, now, in your opinion, would that object be metallic?
Yeah, but it was... Well, you wouldn't believe the engineering in on that thing, though. Anything can lay on its edge as big as it was and move off without a sign or sound.
Okay, now, in your opinion, just how big... excuse me, how big... What?
Well, I'll tell you, it was as big as, I'd say it was at least as big as my house. And I got a 1,200 square foot house, 1,400, with a 2-car garage. It was at least that big.
Okay. Did you, notice any openings of any kind?
No, I couldn't see no portholes or anything like an aircraft fuselage in it or any kind of a tower that would suggest that, you know, people could look out. I couldn't see no people or nothing.
Okay. Now, could you describe that last one, the exact shape as you saw it?
I'll tell you what, okay, then, if you took two paper plates, you know, the type that's got the ribs in it?
Right.
Okay, you take them and you reverse them. The ribs would go one way on the top and one way on the bottom, but the opposite direction. Okay, then you pull the, you pull them apart. I'd say that size, I'd pull them apart about an inch. And then you put this panel in the middle of it with the red bars in it. Looks like a Z fan.
Okay.
But it didn't really Z, it was more like an N fan. Like it was N.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a Z. It wasn't a walking, it wasn't an M-type fence. It was a, I guess it'd be a Z-type. Lay a Z on its side.
Okay. Now,
that Z that was laying in there was red. And the background on it was white.
Okay. Now, how many did you actually see land?
I seen four land, but I could observe about four more that was already there after, before I came.
Before, okay. In other words, after you got to the area, there were four more came down.
Right.
Okay. And did they seem to be in one particular area, or did they more or less surround the area that you were in?
They was more or less surrounding that mesa. They was in more or less a circular, and I'd say they was, oh, half mile apart.
Okay. Those projections that came into the midair of the faces, were there anyone, any face that you recognized?
Looked like a man's face.
Uh-huh.
It was a triangular type of face.
Okay.
The point of a triangular would be at the bottom, and so the head would be at the top.
Okay.
And with kind of slashes down.
Okay.
Four or five slashes down. Looked like a face. And the other one looked like a W with a border around the W, like a box border.
Box border? Okay.
And these were all, I would say, white-orange line in both pictures.
Wagut Mountain. Which direction would that be from the Tucumcari?
Northwest.
Northwest, okay.
Okay, that would be, actually, it's about a mile from White Point. That was the area I was hunting in.
Okay.
Well, Wagut Mountain, 35 miles from where I was, where my truck was parked at White Point.
And did you see anything else after, before that day was over? After you had found your truck or was walking out to your truck during the daylight period, did you see anything else?
No, I didn't go towards that one ship that was shooting up. It was too far away. I was tired, hungry, and cold, man. I just blasted out of that.
Okay.
They could have the whole top of the mountain as far as I could tell. I wouldn't want to go around and go digging around there.
Okay, what was your opinion of the UFOs prior to this?
Bad. I didn't believe in them, really.
Uh-huh.
But I certainly believe in them now.
Okay, have you discussed this with anyone else?
Yes.
Any officials or just friends?
All just friends.
Uh-huh.
They thought I was all nuts, so I'm going to let them pass it off.
Okay.
But what was really crazy about the whole damn thing is when I got ready to leave, and those two panels, those were two antennas, and I followed that. I wouldn't have believed that on a stack of Bibles if I hadn't experienced it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I couldn't believe what I did. It was just ghosts. There's a hell with it. Ghosts. You're bound to run into somebody or something. And it took 50 yards from my truck.
Okay, did you, when this happened, with those antennas, did you get any kind of mental impression that that's the direction you were supposed to go in?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel that possibly they were actually projecting this to you?
Well, I asked them for help. I just went for the hell of it. And I said, well, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm lost. That was my opinion at the time. And I said, well, heck, both of them point in the same direction. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Now, I've never been so, fly off the handle and go do something for that like that my whole life. You know? But the way the terrain up there was, it's just out of, when you start down off the ridge, it's just out of one little mesa into a thick of woods, and out of one into another one, into a small canyon, then out of the canyon to another mesa, little patch of woods, and you really couldn't get high enough to see where you were, so you really had no choice to do what you did.
Right, okay. Now, it's been quite some time since this happened. Have you seen anything in the sky since then?
No.
Okay, have you had any strange mental or physical experiences of any kind?
No. It took me about 3 days to get back to normal. I'm in business myself, and I don't know, it felt like I was driving in a daze when I was driving home. I just couldn't believe what I'd seen. I was really afraid to tell my wife.
Have you had any dreams about this?
No.
Okay. All right, sir, if we could get somebody in there to talk to you, would you give them the time to discuss this and make up some diagrams of
these various things? I'd be happy to have, if they'd be willing to put that on a black background, I could just about tell them just about what it was I've seen. I got an artist that was going to draw that for me, but he hadn't got around to it. But I could actually draw those antennas the way you'd see them with your eye, and then actually the way you'd see them with your scope. And I paid $100 for that scope. And I've got the best scope money can buy. And I know my scope wasn't wrong. The weirdest thing, when you looked at that big, bright light, I wouldn't dare look at that direct, because I think it would blind you.
Yes.
But even looking at it at a glance, you couldn't look at it for more than 10 seconds.
Now, was that with or without the scope?
With the scope.
With the scope, okay.
If you looked at it, your eyes started to spot. Once I looked at that and seen what it is, what it was doing, even though it was spotting, I took another look to make sure I seen what I seen. And I quit looking at that damn light. It would actually mess your eyes up.
Okay. How close do you feel that the closest object was?
Well, I'd say the closest one was the one that turned that big light on behind. And he couldn't have been no more a quarter of a mile behind me, but I didn't want to go looking for anything.
Okay, now, while they were all on the ground during the night, were they all maintaining about the same color and same intensity of light at all times?
No. No, they'd run this big scanning light. Each one would run that scanning light. But they'd only run that scanning light for about 2 or 3 hours. And then they would turn that thing off. And sometimes you wouldn't even see the other ship. Or maybe just one little light on the ship.
Yes.
And the light was on the outside. I could not see nothing on it. I wouldn't even see the landing light unless that man turned them on. Or whoever he was.
Yes.
But the best one I got to look at was the one that just shot the beam top in the sky, and evidently the other beam come down. Now, that's the best one I got to look at, because he was directly in front of me.
Okay, now that beam that came down from that light, is that the one that came right to the ground?
No, it went in, it stopped at on top of the ship.
At the object, okay. And in other words, there was two running from that vehicle up to the one in the sky.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Now, these objects that were sitting on the ground, were they all sitting up on their, or standing, or parked, or whatever, on their side?
No, they was laying on their belly.
They were flat?
Flat, yeah.
Okay.
I could not see no landing gear.
Now, when they took off, did they rise off of the ground a little bit before they turned up on edge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they laid on their side. He was totally suspended in air when he was on his side. And the edge almost went on the ground. He laid right on his edge, and then he just moved up.
Okay.
Real slow.
Did they go slow all the way?
And he went slow until he laid it back down, vertical with the ground. I mean, horizontal with the ground.
Uh-huh.
And then the only thing, what got me is that I just started calling it a gyro. I started calling that center section a gyro. The one with the red panel in it.
Yes.
And with the white background. Now, I call that a gyro. Now, that's about the only thing I know it could be sophisticated enough. But it's got to be something far superior than that.
And while all this takeoff was going on, you didn't hear any sound?
No sound at all.
No sound at all. But they, all of them eventually were engulfed with this corona of light, and you couldn't see the vehicle itself.
Right. All it looked like was looked like a comet.
Right. Now, when they moved away, did they go straight up?
No. They went off at a diagonal.
Did they all go in the same direction?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
But then they turned and headed out towards this other one.
That bright light in the sky?
Yeah.
Okay.
They headed towards it, but it didn't take them long.
Did you actually see them go to that light?
No, not exactly to it, because they're moving so damn fast.
Yeah.
It was a clear night. But you could still see them moving, then after you get out a little ways, it just looked like a star moving through the sky.
Right.
They just gone.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Masterson, well, we sure appreciate your talking to us, and if we can get someone in there, why, we'll have them call you ahead of time to make an appointment and give them a chance to get some diagrams.
Well, I would be more than happy to cooperate with them and give them as much information as I possibly know of what I think.
Okay. Now, do you want your name held absolutely confidential on this?
Oh, I don't care. Everybody knows I'm crazy anyway, I guess. You gotta be crazy being business for yourself. No, I didn't make no difference. I don't care one way or the other. But what I tell you is going to be the truth. Exactly what I see.
Uh-huh.
It ain't going to be nothing that somebody dreamed up, because I actually seen it.
Well, that's what we want. We're in search of good scientific data.
But I tell you something. I sure in the hell wouldn't want to fight an army with this damn thing. Mm-hmm. I've always said, if I ever seen one of these things, I'd shoot it down, you know, with my rifle, you know. When I was up there, I fired my last round trying to stop that Jeep. And
uh-huh.
I didn't have a round at all. Not one shell in my gun, and that's foolish. That's foolish. I had an empty gun. And I don't think a loaded gun did anything good. If they got that kind of engine, they sure in hell know a lot about us, too.
Yes, I guess they do.
I'm sure they've got a protective force or some kind of Mickey Mouse deal that could prevent rifle fire at them.
Okay.
I'm not going to sit around and let somebody shoot him up.
Okay.
That's bad odds, 9-1. That's everybody said.
Uh-huh.
It's better to sit by the fire and watch him.
Yes. Is your first name E-M-O-R-Y or E-R-Y?
Yes.
O-R-Y, okay. All right, sir, thanks again for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Right.